The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the K4 Wins. That's right, brothers. We got all of us but Kip. We're waiting on Kip. We've got some severe weather here in the Birmingham area, so hopefully he will join us. His power's been off. We get Case Keeper down there, executive director, chief editor of Las Vegas Sun out there in beautiful Las Vegas. To my left, depending on how you're looking at the screen, Kai Gregory, who's been handicapping ball games for four decades. He's fantastic. He does both sides of the ball. And, of course, I'm Tony Curry. I've been doing ESPN, worked up there for a little bit, and also doing sports radio with Al Del Greco, Jay Barker, not to mention a horde of other great, wonderful athletes throughout my tenure. And we do a little show called K4 Wins. We do a little handicapping show. By the way, I was just looking real quickly before we jump into the show. If you've had money on Texas Tech, Ohio State, Utah State, North Texas, San Diego State, or Western Kentucky, you are in the money this year, by the way. Texas Tech, 10-1 against the spread. Ohio State, 9-1 against the spread. And Utah State, North Texas, San Diego State, and Western Kentucky, all 9-2 against the spread. Have you been on those teams this year, Case?
Definitely a handful of them. The only one that surprises me is the last team you named, Western Kentucky. I didn't realize they were that good against the spread. I know that they still have to win this weekend to get to the Conference USA championship game, but yeah, certainly some of them. I feel like I jumped off, but Utah State over was like one of my favorite win totals. I think it was the biggest one I made in the Mountain West, maybe. I've been on North Texas quite a bit. Looks like they're in good position. So some of them have been on my side.
We're going to start right off the bat here, and then I'm going to get to Kai in a second, right with the public money, because there's several games here. Of course, it is rivalry weekend. The games just go on and on and on. It's a fantastic Friday. We normally don't have great games on Friday. Huge matchups on Friday. Huge matchups on Saturday. Public money, I'm assuming, on Alabama, A&M, Ole Miss, and Ohio State. How far off am I on those four games right now?
I'll do my usual disclaimer, and it's probably even more this week because with Thanksgiving week, I think people think about this stuff even later. I really don't think there's been a lot of money bet yet at all, but it's coming. I kind of wrote about the Ohio State game a little bit yesterday, and that's the one that jumped off to my mind. I think everyone's going to be on Ohio State, which honestly I'm a little bit worried about. I want more status on those receivers because I think that offense, they're kind of ordinary without Tate and Smith, so I wouldn't be jumping on that one. I think Ohio State for sure. I would agree Alabama. I can't remember the other ones. The only one where I'm kind of wishy-washy and not 100% sure is I've just heard a lot of people, even people that aren't, you know, as ingrained in betting as me, talk about how they're worried about Ole Miss in this game with all the Lane Kiffin stuff going on. So I actually, and I could be wrong, again, there's still time to come. We'll see what happens. I would not be surprised if that game has more split opinions and isn't just an avalanche of money one way or the other. Without all that going on, yeah, I do think Ole Miss would be the public side, but I'm not so sure this week.
Not knowing what the hell you're doing, I just walking into a place, you would go, why is an 11-0 A&M team only giving up 2.5 to a Texas squad that's 8-3? Can you explain that to me? I know, listen, we've gone around and around and around. Texas sucks. We know it. We get it. But something tells me Texas is going to show up for this game, but I've been saying that all year long, and they haven't been. So what's your feelings on that?
Yeah, well, this is one thing that makes people's minds explode, I feel like, every year. But the people who are shaping the market, I think, and the bookmakers, even this late into the season, there's still a little bit of an adjustment for your priors, for what you thought coming into the season, which, you know, at this point is just basically roster quality. And I think if you poll every coach in the nation – you don't really take the results into effect, just who has the better team, who has the better players. I still think Texas is probably at a talent advantage despite everything that's happened this year. Then on top of that, I think recency, if you just look, I know Texas A&M hasn't lost, but they've been kind of sketchy going back a month now. I know the Arkansas one is probably easier than it looked, what they beat Arkansas by 3, had to have that miraculous second half comeback against Texas South Carolina. Texas had the bad fourth quarter against Georgia, but otherwise it's kind of been trending up. I really think if you look just over a little bit recency, that these teams are really close, like from a per play basis. I don't think Texas A&M has been playing appreciably better than their rival Longhorns. Now you take the whole season as a whole, that's where you get Texas. But still, coming into the season, this number was Texas minus 10.5. So we've seen a two-touchdown flip. That's still pretty that's still pretty big. And I don't have any problem with this line, but I agree with you. I do think most people will probably be drawn towards the Aggies.
Okay, we want to see them squirm, man. We want to see the CFP squirm. And if Texas wins this game against A&M, you know where I'm going here. They have, according to ESPN, the FBI, a 17% chance at actually making the playoffs with three losses. I don't see it, but that's why it's only 17%. And if A&M loses this game, they've only got the one loss. They didn't play Georgia. They didn't play Alabama. They didn't play Vanderbilt. They haven't played anybody in the SEC, and then they lose to a Texas squad that was preseason number one. Where does that put them?
I don't know. What kind of world are we living in that you just had to, you just mentioned Vanderbilt apparently as one of the top SEC teams?
Yeah, I know, right?
Which by the way, you know, Kip's in his place. He is on Tennessee this week, which scares me because he was on Florida last week. And, you know, so. I don't think that that's going to cause a controversy. Texas A&M will still be in. Texas will still be out. They have three losses. They're not getting in, period. They're not. It's not happening. They can win by 30 this weekend. They are still not in the college football playoffs, and they shouldn't be. A team with three losses should not get in the college football playoffs unless they happen to win their conference championship and they have to get in, you know, with that crap. Otherwise, come on.
I asked the question to Kip yesterday, Kyle. I want to get your thoughts. Who needs to win their game more, Lane Kiffin this weekend or Ryan Day?
You know, it's funny because it used to be that Auburn would beat Alabama and Alabama fans wouldn't care if they won the national championship. Allegedly, Auburn fans like, yeah, we beat you. Alabama fans like, yeah, we won the national championship. You know, I mean, one of their 37 claimed national championships. So, you know, it just depends. But, I have some Ohio State friends, which it actually hurts me to say those words. And they want to beat Michigan. They despise Michigan. And honestly, Lane Kiffin's ticket's already punched to whatever he's going to do. So I'm going to go Ryan Day all day and twice on Sunday.
He's lost four in a row. Case you feel the same way. The only thing is Ohio State loses, they're still in. I mean, they're in. If Lane Kiffin loses, they're out. There's a good shot they're out.
His check is cashed. It's in his pocket. Let's be honest. He knows what he's
going to
do.
And by the way, it's Florida, not LSU, right? Because everyone keeps telling me he's going to LSU. I'm like, no, he's going to Florida. They're like, are you sure? I had this debate. It's Florida, right?
I've kind of heard the rumor mill flip, and LSU just threw so much money that now it's LSU.
I heard $90 million.
Yeah, so who knows? We'll all see. But I think right now, if you're giving me even odds on all of them, I would take LSU. And a week ago at this point, I would have been on Florida. I totally agree with what Kai said.
Well, you think LSU? Like, you think he's going to get LSU?
I think LSU, yeah. I could be wrong. Who knows? Only he knows what's going on in his mind. But it seems like all the little whispers now are that LSU's package is just better than everyone else's.
Wow, that would be that would be amazing.
Why? I mean, he can be where he is and clearly be competitive, win games. So, I mean, if he wins nine games the rest of his life at Ole Miss, they put a statue up. Ole Miss has already said they're going to match the $25 million NIL that LSU's doing. They're going to match the salary. So why leave?
Well, and you said this last week. Nine's not enough at Ole Miss. You say that, but this ain't Tommy Tuberville's Ole Miss squad. If he ends up winning a national title this year or coming close and wins 11 ball games, that's what they're going to expect. Now they know they can win a national title at Ole Miss, and we couldn't say that until he got there. So
it's still Ole Miss.
It is.
Nine's enough for them.
Yeah. Any truth, and we threw this out, and I wanted to know where the odds went. Kalen DeBoer loses to Auburn. He's going to Penn State. Has that grown any legs at all? Because I'm hearing more and more about that. I'm like, are you serious? I don't think they'd fire Kalen DeBoer, but I could see him ducking out in the middle of the night.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised of how much I've heard about it. I think we talked about it a week ago when I mentioned the odds. I haven't gotten any updated from it. But, yeah, he was the big crasher in the Penn State odds. And then I heard more and more people talking about it, people usually somewhat in the know that – I still don't know if there's anything legitimate to it there, but I think it's pretty safe to say they at least reached out and maybe gauged his interest. And I don't know, you guys would know a lot better than me being there. Maybe the fit hasn't been great at Alabama. Maybe there's parts of the job he doesn't like. I'm really just kind of recklessly speculating. I have no idea, but it's certainly something people are talking about. And I don't mean he's leaving, but I do think it's probably coming from somewhere. There's got to be something going on there, even if there's no chance he's leaving. Maybe that they reached out, or maybe he is interested. I don't know.
There is some smoke going on there, Kai. And it's funny because that line's 5.5. That is a smelly fish. There is no doubt that the public money's on there. You look at Alabama, they knocked off, what, 4 or 5 top 25 teams in a row. I know they had the Lucky Horse Show going. Of course, that Oklahoma game comes, and there's no way they're going to lose Oklahoma again. Not after what Oklahoma did to them last year, knocking them out of the playoffs. Oh, look, they came in 23-21. They have the ball. They have a chance to win the game, and they lose. And here's Alabama going, and you brought it up every single week. Crazy shit happens at Auburn.
Absolutely. And, you know, night game now, and the craziest, I mean, hell, think about it. Two years ago when Alabama actually, you know, won the game, when did they convert a 4th and 31?
Yep.
Against one of the worst defensive play calls in the history of the world, by Auburn. And I just, I don't know. And I know it's rivalry week and that changes things, but I guess Daniels is going to come back and start at quarterback for Auburn. Which, by the way, has anybody had a greater, like, young season and then been completely forgotten 2 years later than Jalen Daniels at Kansas? I mean, he was the absolute shit early on in his career, and nobody says – I don't even know if we went to Kansas and watched their sports station at night if they're talking about him. But I digress.
It is interesting to note that Alabama has won 5 in a row in this series, which is nothing to sneeze at. And the other thing is, and I was sitting there trying to find some type of trend. There's absolutely no trend. You know, people are like, you throw the record books out the window, blah, 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 blah. I hear that garbage. They're 4-4 against the spread, 4-4 over under. I mean, there's absolutely no way, if you're a trend kind of guy, there's absolutely no trend to this game at all. It's just that every time they play down at Auburn, something really, really strange happens. And that 5.5 case is just a really weird line. If I could get it at 7, I'd take it all day long.
You take Auburn at 7?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree there. I've kind of been consistent with this. I just know this line's been up for a while. I mean, this line's like about right where I would make it. Ultimately, like in my column, you can check it out, LasVegasSun.com, where I pick every game. I ended up picking Alabama, but it was just a guess. I have no interest in actually betting it. I just Auburn scares me. I mean, but their extremes are just so you could see it going so far in either direction. I mean, I feel like now they. Have been a little more inventive in offense. They have these new pieces they're working in, so they could have some packages that you feel like could really bust the game open. But then again, I mean, ever since he's played for the last 3 years or whatever, Ashton Daniels, who I would want to be starting at quarterback, no doubt, but he's so boom or bust. I think we've seen it even at Auburn this year. Didn't he had one awful start? Looks good. Another one. Ultimately, I just feel like there's like a trust factor with Kalen DeBoer, with Ty Simpson, and with the Alabama defense that I don't really have with Auburn. I feel like Auburn's more of a grab bag. We don't know what we're going to get. So not one I would bet, certainly. It would probably need to get to the other extreme. It'd probably need to get to like 3 for me to be interested in Alabama, and I agree with you. Maybe at 7 I'd be Auburn, but I'd probably still pass then. I'd probably want 7.5. Pretty clearly not going to get there. And just finally to kind of came out of left field, but to respond to what Kai said, since it's my alma mater, yeah, Jalen Daniels. We'll always have that moment. I think after like 3 or 4 weeks, his freshman year, 3 or 4 years ago, he was like 12-1 to win the Heisman, looked amazing. Disappointing his career turned out the way it was, but I really just think it's the back injuries. He's actually stayed on the field this year, but he hurt his back the last 2 years, and he's just not been the same since, not the same mobility. So, it's sad it's part of the game, but some of these injuries really, I think, torpedo promising careers. I hope Kansas ended up paying him well, because after his freshman year, supposedly USC just made a huge offer, and it was the worst kept secret ever. He was headed to USC, and then kind of at the last minute, he put out a statement he was staying at Kansas. So I'm sure he got paid well. I doubt they matched the USC offer, but I'm hoping they came close and he made some money out of that. Seems like a great kid. He's been a really great ambassador for the school, even though they're having a disappointing year this year. He kind of helped turn around their fortune. So yeah, just the back injuries, I think really cost him.
Even if they gave him half, I mean, the taxes in Kansas got to be better than
That's
the taxes.
True. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, you pay in a couple of bushel of corn. Speaking of the devil, where are Heisman Trophy picks right now, and how are you looking in some of your futures? Who is winning the Heisman Trophy right now? I know you've been saying Love all year long, and you're spot on, brother. I mean, he looked fantastic this past week.
That spin move could have been his Heisman moment, just like Mendoza's a couple of games ago.
There's a quarterback for Vanderbilt that has got something to say this weekend too, because if he throws up another 400-yard game against Tennessee, he may be right there in the mix too, because I think right now he's third.
400 yards against that defense. I really don't. And I got Love at 35 and 40 and 50 to one, and now he's plus 425. So, I mean, those odds have just plummeted that way. But even if he goes, you know, 8 carries, 173 yards, and 3 touchdowns last week, probably still not good enough unless Mendoza just shits the bed. Yeah. Over the next 2 weeks, and Love is going to have to just go crazy this weekend.
Yeah, so I have the odds. It's going to be different wherever you look, especially these future markets are a lot different, but I have one of probably the second sharpest book in Vegas. I have their odds up right now. They have Mendoza minus 125. Jeremiah Love, definitely the big mover, the second choice at 4-1, and then Sayan at plus 450 and Pavia at 5-1. It might be the first time in months that I might be a little bit more optimistic on Love than Kai. It just really seems like he's got a groundswell of support, and I feel like he should have another big game against Stanford. That being said, I think it's all moot. If I don't even care if he's not good in the game. If Indiana beats Ohio State in the Big Ten, I feel like it's Mendoza. It's all going to come down to that. But that being said, if they lose, I feel like the bloom's kind of off Julian Sayan with kind of how pedestrian he looked against a terrible Rutgers defense without Smith and Tate. And it makes sense to me. I think Sayan's been great. I think he's probably a little underappreciated, but it's just hard for me as a voter to give Sayan the vote when he's not even the best player on his offense, but not even the top three best player on his offense. So I feel like there's a real opening if Ohio State holds on, gets to the Big Ten championship and beats Indiana, then I feel like there's going to be wandering eyes. And I feel like most of those eyes right now are landing on Love even more than Pavia, but Pavia is still in the discussion too. I just think he set a high bar. He's going to need another giant game this week against Tennessee, but yeah, certainly a four player race, and Mendoza I think deserves to be the odds on favorite, but it's almost a disadvantage because he's going to have to do it for one more game. Whereas I feel like if Love states his case emphatically one more time here, I feel like he's the leader in the clubhouse, kind of. Mendoza's going to have to hold serve in the final game.
The last time running back won the Heisman Trophy, anybody?
Derrick Henry?
Yeah, 2015. Yeah. It's been 10 years. It's just hard for running backs. I mean, the Heisman Trophy's been won 36 times by quarterbacks and 21 times by running backs. It used to be a lot of running backs, but over the last 10 to 15 years, man, it's been – and before that was Reggie Bush. So, I mean, it's been – they don't win – running backs don't win Heisman Trophies that much anymore.
05. Reggie Bush 05?
Every 10 years. And before that, it was Ron Dane back in 1999. So, yeah, you're talking
every
about –
every season that ends in a 5, looked it up and went back and looked when I saw this earlier. Every season that ends with a 5, a running back has won the Heisman.
Yep, Eddie George.
Tony Curry, useless stat of the day.
Eddie George did it in 95. You're right. Eddie George did it in 85. Bo Jackson did it in 85. You're right. If it ends in a 5, it's a running back and do it. That's crazy, though, to think that 3 running backs have won a Heisman Trophy since 1999 in 26 years.
I would absolutely love my $500 winner at plus 5,000 and at plus 4,000 to come in with Love.
Hey, before we start getting into some of our plays this weekend, don't forget we have a big show coming up. It's going to be fantastic. We're talking about the starting lineup, which is going to be coming up on Saturday. And, of course, we're getting ready for that big Auburn-Alabama game, which will be on at ABC later on that evening. Should be just a great matchup of great games on Friday and Saturday. Last year, Georgia Tech, it went 8 OTs. Georgia Tech is catching 13.5. I had them for the first time all year, and they look like crap this past weekend. The quarterback, I don't know. I was going back and forth with Kai, and I was like, what the hell did I just bet on? They're part of my I had Oregon come in. The over came in. I was like, okay, that was the one. That was the one leg part of the three-bagger I was worried about. And I thought, okay, I got Cincinnati and Georgia Tech, and both of them looked horrible. What's going on with the Georgia Tech line? Any chance that Georgia Tech could come out of nowhere and surprise Georgia like they did almost last year?
I mean, it's hard for me to get last year's game totally out of my mind because, man, they, I mean, what was it, 8 overtimes with the 2-point conversions? They had every chance to win and really put a scare into Georgia. It does look like Georgia's taking some money. Well, it opened 14.5, and immediately some of Georgia Tech took some money. Yesterday, I saw it down as low as 12.5, now mostly 14, 13.5 in Vegas at least. So it seems like there's opinions on both sides early in the week, which are probably somewhat informed money. We're so early. This is another one where, unfortunately, I don't really have anything. I have it right about where the number is, and just the difference between this year and last year, I feel like Georgia was kind of floundering by the end of the year last year. They didn't look like their best. And I mean, to me, Georgia just keeps getting better this year. So it's just too scary to go against them. But I don't know. Georgia Tech had a good plan last year, and their defense is just so horrendous, though. So I guess if push really came to shove, I'd probably pick the Georgia side. But I don't have much interest in
if Georgia gets off quick, Georgia Tech cannot play from behind. We just saw it this past weekend. If they get down 14-0, it's over. It's over. Now, if they get up 14-0, look out. They can start running the football like they love to do and do that screwy little offense. But if they get down 14-0 to Georgia, it's going to be over. It's going to be a
blowout. Yeah, the problem is both teams start super slow.
Yeah, I know, right? That's true. Let's go to a game that you're obviously interested in. I can't believe that Vandy and Tennessee is actually a good game this year, but it is. Tennessee's given up a 3-pointer. Vandy's still playing. They still have a lot to play for. They've had a magical season up there, and Tennessee not so much. But what's your thoughts on the big game there in the state of Tennessee?
I wish it was a night game.
I hear you.
Game. But, you know, I know from people I've talked to also that, you know, and you can see it everywhere, that Pavia running his mouth before the season, talking about how after this year Vandy was going to run the state of Tennessee. That is everywhere in Tennessee's locker room, all over the stadium, you know, everywhere. But how much does that matter if half your players are out? And it looks like Kitzelman may still be out, although Ethan Davis came in, had a very good game this past week in Florida. It's all going to come down to which one of the whiny quarterbacks that are trying to get their 97th year of eligibility in college football, you know, how they do. Because apparently Aguilar has, which, wow, just for the record, Tennessee fans are feeling so disrespected by ESPN because Kirk Herbstreit called him Jerry Aguilar like 7 times during the game Saturday night. And I've seen it brought up, and I'm like, come on. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Kevin DeBoer.
Yeah, Kevin DeBoer. And, you know, is Legend going to still call him that? Is Legend going to call him that if he loses?
Oh, he'll call him Kevin DeBoer if he loses to Auburn this weekend. Yeah, he'll lose his brain. Yeah,
I've seen this weekend as a pretty high scoring game. I really think so. You know, if
Auburn, Alabama, you talking about?
No, Tennessee.
Tennessee. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I really think so. Tennessee's defense. I mean, they shut down Florida, but Florida really shut down themselves. I'm not sure who DJ Lagway was throwing to on half of his passes. It looked like he was trying to throw to his coach a few times. And, you know, it was great. I mean, it's the, you know, the second time in my life Tennessee's won at Florida. So that was great. But I do think it makes Candy's season if they win in Knoxville, without a shadow of a doubt. And I actually think it probably ruins the season Tennessee has had. And, you know, everybody's down. They've got 3 losses, but I mean, they've lost to 3 pretty good teams, and they have dealt with as many or more injuries than anybody in the country, especially to their defensive line. I just see this game, first one to 40 wins.
They've been banged up all year long. Another interesting game too, that I'm loving to get Case's idea on this because he's a lot closer to this game than we are. But Oregon, Dan Lanning was all over ESPN. He's been all over ESPN. He's been everywhere. He loves Oregon. He's never leaving Oregon. I love him. I think he's fantastic. And he's only given up 6.5 to the Washington Huskies. Any chance Washington can pull off the upset?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance. I will say I love Dan Lanning too. I think all of us are on the same page on this show, and I think people should be scared because this is like supposed to be a rebuilding year. They just have so many young guys, and look how good they are. I mean, if you watch them, I feel like they are one of the teams in the nation that just jump off the TV. They look so much faster than everyone.
And injuries.
Yeah, and yeah, there was an estimate that I saw they had somewhere between $7 and $10 million of NIL out last week against USC. They've lost their top four receivers, three starting offensive linemen, and they still never were really in a scare in that game. I mean, they keep making it not be an issue, but at some point, I do think that probably catches up to them. I think this is a lot bigger rivalry than people realize, especially with the success of the two programs in the last several years. So a little tough to go up there. I always thought this would be a spot where I'd be on Washington, and it still probably will be. I just, in Vegas, we've been all 6.5. I haven't seen any 7, at least not when I've looked. So I got to at least get the 7 on Washington, but I do plan to be betting Washington +7. I saw Kip, that was on his plays, he sent over too, although he's hated Oregon all year for some reason. I'm telling you, you don't want to play this Oregon team, especially there's been some rumblings they could be healthier going into the playoffs. So I mean, I think it'd be good for the chaos, it'd be good for the debates if they lost this week. But man, I think Oregon's pretty scary, and they're doing all this without such a big chunk of their team. But I do think at some point it catches up to them, and maybe it's here, but I wouldn't bet Washington at anything less than 7.
A lot of games going into this season that this should have been like, wow, I cannot wait for South Carolina Clemson. That's going to be a great game. No. Wow, I can't believe FSU in Florida. That's going to be a great not so much. Wow, Kentucky and Louisville. That should be not so much. We do have a bunch of different games to get into. You've got BYU giving up 17.5 to UCF, which is interesting. LSU catching 10 against Oklahoma. Well, Oklahoma, will they wake up and go, what just happened here? I think that line's interesting. Mizzou giving up 2.5 on the road at Arkansas. Arkansas getting some love there and only giving up 2.5. It's the first time in about 17 weeks. Mizzou hasn't had a 7-point line one way or the other. Let's go around the horn here and give us some of your best plays. Kai Gregory, what you got going on Saturday? Then we'll jump into the NFL.
You know, I'm going to go Friday. And I hate to do this to Case and his alma mater, but I'm loving Utah -12 in this situation, just the way they're playing. And it's more of the way Kansas has been playing, in my opinion. I just think the physicality of Utah's lines will hurt Kansas in that game. So I got to watch that. I do love the fact that Thursday is not just NFL, and I get to watch Navy in Memphis. That's going to be fun. It'd be very difficult for me not to take Navy over their 26 for their team total. I think Memphis is going to win the game, but you know that's a good game. And how about the fact that you know, growing up, it was a huge game, but now we're not even talking about Iowa and Nebraska.
Pair of 7-4 teams. I mean, they're good. Both teams are decent.
I think North Texas laying the 20 at home against Temple Friday is probably something that I'm going to look at a little bit more. Moving forward. And I got Indiana when it was 28. Well, it was 28.5, and I bought it down to 20 to 28. Now I'm looking at 29.5 here. I think that's a little bit too much maybe. And I do know Kip is also on West Virginia. He likes the under in Alabama and Auburn, and he likes Tennessee.
He likes the under in Auburn, Alabama. That's 48.5.
Okay. 47.5 he does. And I don't know, you know, in the I Don't Care Bowl, I think Clemson's playing better than South Carolina right now. I really do. It's out South Carolina, and y'all know that I think Beamer is only beat in doucheness by Drinkwitz at Missouri. But I would love to see Arkansas pull that game out.
He should have been fired in the game when he's up 30-3. That was inexcusable. That was just if he wins that game, it's at least he's got something he can hang his hat on. But he's had a horrible season. I had that team actually going to the playoffs. I can't believe it. But yeah, they're absolutely horrible. Another interesting game. I think it's kind of interesting. Case, we'll get to some of your plays. James Madison getting a 22.5 to Coastal Carolina. I was on that Coastal Carolina bandwagon there a couple of years ago. Man, they were like 8-2 against the spread. Like every year, they were coming out of nowhere, and it was always inside the spread. Now they're catching 22.5. I can't remember the last time Coastal Carolina was catching that many points. And of course, James Madison. We had it on the show last week. Washington State gets inside that number and gets it done. Catching 13.5 against the president. Who you got this weekend?
I don't have anything on that game. It looks like I did make it a little bit lower, but it's kind of a – so I'm guessing I probably put Coastal Carolina in my column, but some of the numbers, it's a little sketchy at this time of the year because you don't know what these team states are. I mean, a lot of the really bottom feeder teams are checked out, and the kids are looking for their next spot. So that's one I'm not even sure who I picked, but I wouldn't be rushing to bet either way. And with that being said,
Is James still playing for a spot, by the way? I mean, is there still an outside shot? I would love to see them make it in just because I think it's an amazing story. They've got the one loss, but I mean, right now, obviously, they're not in the CFP. But
yeah, I'd say outside shot is the right way to characterize it. I wouldn't totally put them out, but it just seems like it's going to be the AAC winner. So I don't know. They'd probably need some chaos to happen, some more of these teams to lose, and someone bizarre win the AAC. So they're not drawing dead, but they're not looking great either.
Yeah. All right, go ahead. What else you got?
Yeah, well, you mentioned the SEC game, that a couple SEC games I have some interest in. I'd bet Missouri -2. It's only 2.5 now. That's fine. I just thought all the things I talked about checking out, not sure if it's the same team. I think the only reason this line is depressed is because Arkansas still looks pretty decent from a season-long perspective, but I think things have really gone south in the last few weeks. I know they had one competitive performance, 2 weeks ago. They covered against whoever they played, but the Texas game was just a debacle. They've been awful on defense the entire year, and now the offense really isn't doing much either, which I think is probably maybe it's just the Petrino experience in a nutshell. I know I've talked about it before on this show, but I think Petrino's biggest problems is he's good when he first goes places, and then by the end it's just a complete dumpster fire. And usually that's over a course of many years, but I think now that he knows he's not staying there, I don't necessarily think that they're gonna have the greatest week of preparation. And I mean Mizzou trotted Prabula out there probably not 100% last week, and they still played pretty decently. I know they lost by 11, but I feel like he's going to be healthier with another week to go. So I'm just, the trajectory of these two programs, I thought less than 3 was a kind of a discount on Missouri. So I took Missouri. And the other SEC game, probably the most recent thing I just bet because I was waiting for a number and it came across in Las Vegas. I know this one will be super unpopular, but I just think both these offenses have been so bad recently. Can't move the ball, and both defenses so good. I don't see a double-digit margin in this LSU-Oklahoma game. So I was waiting for a 10.5. I got it. I just bet LSU +10.5. Not necessarily saying they're going to win outright or whatever, but I mean, it's just like pulling teeth watching either of these offenses. Is this the week Oklahoma breaks back out again and looks like they did during the first 3 weeks? I mean, I'm not sure. We have a big sample size now where they've just struggled to move the ball. They found ways to get it done. I mean, I'm still a big Oklahoma fan. I have an Oklahoma playoff ticket that I'm hoping to cash. I think it has a better chance than the James Madison one. But so I wasn't thinking about this as a hedge, but maybe it kind of works at a hedge. That's what I just bet LSU.
Hey, Jake, I got a question for you. And you'll probably know these odds, but has anybody hurt their draft stock more coming back than Nussmeier at LSU?
I was trying to think, there might be like one or two. I feel like there's a lot of guys this year that fell off, but yeah, he's certainly up there with a bullet. It did not help. I'm assuming he'll be somewhere else next year. I doubt he stays at LSU with the new coach, but maybe he can do some repair. But yeah, I don't think it's I certainly don't think his. I mean, coming into the year, he was one of the guys in the conversation for the top pick, and that has not happened, obviously.
All right, now Niners got it done last night. Let's go with some NFL here. Lions, Packers, Chiefs, Cowboys is really interesting. All of a sudden, the Cowboys are on the hunt. They're 5-5. They get a big victory after being down 21-0. Cincinnati Ravens, which is now kind of interesting because Burrow may be back. They're getting catching 7 at the Ravens. Bills, Steelers, and I had to see something. I was watching ESPN this morning. And I know that you're Indiana Jones all day long, and they went through. They're calling them. A farce, if you will. Their victories this year: Miami, Denver, Tennessee twice, Las Vegas, Arizona, and Atlanta. Those are the victories for the Indianapolis Colts. So they're basically saying, yeah, they're winning football games, but look who they're beating. And to me, it's like a win's a win's a win. They're getting it done. I'm not sure what they are against the spread so far. They did beat the Chargers, by the way, the LACs. So you got to give them some credit for that as well. But let's get into some NFL action, Kyle. What's been jumping out at you? Of course, we're getting into, week 15 already. I can't believe we're getting near the nitty-gritty at the end of the season already. We got about 5 or 6 games to go.
Even as you know, I'll say this, you know, looking at it right away, public's going to jump all over Kansas City's team total, 27.5 over, probably take this game over because of how bad Dallas' defense is. Well, Dallas' defense is not as bad as everybody thinks. Now, they were horrendous in the beginning of the year, but they've really come on late, especially stopping the run In my opinion, they pretty much shut down Saquon Barkley after the first quarter for sure. Although I do believe that Philly kind of just said, here you go, you know, have this game. We don't really care. Not sure if the NFL told them to do that or what, because that game was just horrendous. You know, I you know, Thanksgiving Day, you got to sit around and watch football, right? So we got to go with those. And I mean, Detroit was 30 years in a row lost on Thanksgiving. And now they're getting a Green Bay team in that's probably not going to have Jacobs. Their stud tight end, that I can't remember his name, that just killed everybody, is out. Jordan Love has not looked good, in my opinion, in the past month. But Detroit, they missed their OC, who is making Chicago look like winners and winning games, especially now that they've got Caleb Williams actually not in the shotgun all the time and actually running some play action, which is what Detroit was great at last year and I think has gotten away from too much this year, especially with how incredible Jameer Gibbs, sorry.
55 points, by the way, in fantasy. Just 4 points away from a record, by the way. That was crazy numbers for him.
But I'm absolutely going to lay the 4.5 Sunday with Indiana Jones because Houston is another one of those not great teams. It's not like it's just him. He looks a lot better than he did. But, I mean, he's got Jonathan Taylor. They have an offensive line. Their defense mm-hmm. is playing pretty well this year as well. And since my beloved Titans came from Houston, I hate the Texans, even though I love their coach.
Another game.
I got a question for you. I saw this on ESPN, and I'm wondering what y'all would think. I know who my pick is. 2 seconds left in the Super Bowl. It's your team. You can do whatever you want. It's fourth and goal from the two. You're down 5. What running back in the history of the NFL, what running back do you give the ball to, Tony?
Derrick Henry.
All time that this year, I mean, he's the first one that jumps to your mind for current. I got to think all time. There's got to be someone all time. You sound like you have a much more conviction.
Hear your choice. Even though he came from Alabama, I love Derrick Henry, and yes, I mean, obviously, but to me, Mike Allstott.
Okay.
Y'all are like, what?
I'm not sure where the hell you're going with that and where that came from, man.
I loved Mike Allstott growing up and stuff, but I at least feel like I feel like Derrick Henry's prime's extended a little much, so we're a little further. I feel like Mike Allstott only had two really great years.
The running back's name for the Redskins.
Riggins. Maybe a Christian McCaffrey, a super healthy Christian McCaffrey, because the guy just does not go down. I mean,
I remember watching Riggins, I remember Mike Allstott at Tampa Bay for like 3 years. Nobody could stop him from getting 3 or 4 yards.
I tell you what, for sake of the
up here, you know, you could see like the top of his helmet, and that was it because he had no neck. And he'd be running through the line like this.
For sake of the Birmingham race course, I'm going Icky Woods. I love seeing that Icky Woods. I love seeing that Icky shuffle on those Birmingham race course casino commercials. Hey, by the way, I want to make sure we get his place. Give me Kip's Saturday plays again and give me his Sunday plays if he has them, because we've been kind of peppering those throughout the show. And I want to make sure that everyone knows exactly what he's going with, because when he gets hot, he's hot.
He's got Wisconsin, mm-hmm. West Virginia, Tennessee, Washington, Northwestern, and the Alabama under 47.5.
And is he any NFL action?
He said his primary first glance teams.
Primary first glance teams. And I will assume that he's sticking with A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, Texas Tech, BYU, Miami, and Notre Dame as his top 12 teams. That's what he had last week, and nothing really changed. Everyone won. Going this past week. So if anything changed, Texas up there, brother, we'll get you in there.
And in Kip's honor, Texas sucks, and Texas the Big sucks. Ten is overrated.
Yeah, we had a really interesting conversation yesterday on the Kiefer and Curry show. He actually said, I want to talk to some college football because there's so many games early, and we wanted to make sure that people could listen to our shows and the way we tape the starting lineup. He did say he would not be surprised at all if Texas wins this weekend. I know that Texas sucks, and I'm not sure how you could pick Texas if you say Texas sucks. But that line at 2.5, I'm not sure why he went that way, but he kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit. So we'll see what happens. I was kind of hoping they were going to get Georgia's best, and they did, just to go ahead and stick it in his face. But he was right on that one, too. So as long as he says Texas sucks, they lose. So maybe I should just play A&M and be happy with it. Just be done with it. You've been right all year.
Yeah, I haven't bet it, so you can take my confidence for what it is there. I would need a 3 still, but I think if you put a gun to my head right now and said who's the winner, I'm leaning Texas too. I just
it make their season. Well, it wouldn't really make their season because they're not going to make the playoffs. It's a lot of weird stuff's got to happen for them to even get a sniff into the playoffs. I do think I still think they're one of the top 12 teams in the country. I no one wants to play them. You know, if you're a team that no one wants to play, no one wants to play Texas. But you know, what do I know?
I will to follow up on our last thing. The guy that came to my mind when I was thinking Jerome Bettis.
The boss.
And actually, while you guys are talking, I just fed it into something that's changed this football season too. I'm using a lot of AI to simplify some tasks and stuff. So my ChatGPT, I feel like I have real well calibrated on sports. It knows what I'm looking for, and I gave it our scenario. And it agreed Derrick Henry's the clear choice now, but it says top 10 overall. It has a clear number one, someone we haven't mentioned, and Raiders fans are probably upset with me. Marcus Allen, it says, is who it would go with our scenario. Marcus Allen 1, Jerome Bettis 2, Mike Allstott 3. I got to be honest.
Wow.
I was a Buccaneers fan and loved Mike Allstott. I'm a little surprised he's that high. John Riggins 4. So we were really close on at least what my ChatGPT model spit out. We named 3 of the top 4.
Did your AI hear us talking, and so it put him in there?
That's possible too. Marshawn Lynch 5, interesting enough, which is even funnier, given Pete Carroll's history. Yeah.
It's just strange to see Marcus Allen, because Marcus Allen's just not big. I mean, you know,
said Barry Sanders. I mean, Barry Sanders, what happened to him?
I do have to run back
to the 30 though before he tried to score.
Yeah, I do have to defend my computer friend a little bit. It did kind of reference that in the description it gave me for Marcus Allen. Said very quietly the most efficient goal line or short yardage runner ever. Most people don't remember him this way, but elite vision, zero wasted steps, and arguably the best instincts of any running back ever at the line of scrimmage. The Raiders and Chiefs both built full goal line packages around him.
Damn that AI!
Did anybody ever go over the top better than Bo or Herschel?
That's true too. That's true too. But
yeah,
I think we have some good options. I think we can all agree. I think we came up with some good.
Yeah, they're all great running backs. That's for sure.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you what though, and I know whether we're done with NFL or not. You know, if I'm the casual observer, golly, and we haven't talked about it on here, the freaking college basketball season is going to be so incredible, and I love the fact that, you know, I mean, who knows, in 5 years, we'll probably let 200 teams in the tournament. It was funny. I was watching, I watched some of Game Day the other day, and watching Nick Saban talk about, you know, 12 teams isn't enough, 16 teams isn't enough. He's like, hell, the NCAA tournament has 64, 68 teams. Why don't we just let 64 teams in the playoffs play 3 regular season games and, you know, just keep going? But college basketball, I mean, and if you're an Alabama fan going into the season and you want to bet on Alabama games, which all Alabama fans do, go and see if you're playing a physical team or if they have any hype at all, because Alabama cannot rebound.
Real quick to make an argument too for more teams in college basketball, in all the major sports, it's by far the least number of teams that make it postseason. It's like 17%, because you got over 300 teams that can play in college hoops. Mark Ingram, who's a friend of mine, the AD, he's pushing to double it. They want to go to 128. I don't have a problem with that, just because it's good for everybody. Everyone gets a chance to play. You're adding one more game. It's more money for everybody. But you know, they're definitely going to add some more teams. They just don't know how many more they're going to add. But they got to get the 16 thing done first in college football.
They've got 18 tournaments now. So if you don't make the 68 field, you go play in the NIT or the
CBS. You know, you know why? Because we don't have 128 teams in. That's why we're playing all these other tournaments, because, I mean, there's million-dollar tournaments, the CBIs, all kinds of things, and teams like that. They want to continue to play. They get more practices that way. It's great for recruiting. So,
you know why, Tony? Because, yeah. You know why? Because teams want to go be number 69. They want to win the NIT and be 69.
They want to hang that banner that they went to the NIT finals is what they want to do. I know, isn't it pathetic? All right, let's talk some college hoops or some NHR or whatever. We got a few minutes left here. You guys want to jump into whatever you want to get into. Anything else that is grabbing your bones here, getting ready for a big – by the way, we are very, very thankful for the hundreds and thousands of folks that we have normally about 3,000 or 4,000 people that listen on Tony Currie Radio. Greatly appreciate everyone listening to our show, and we wish you could be on every single day of the week. We're on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 o'clock Central, and thanks. We're very thankful to Dunk a Dad and, of course, Angel and the entire crew at Coastal for letting us be part of their family and partnering up with us. We really appreciate the opportunity to come on their radio station and do our thing. We're very, very thankful for that. But anything else kind of grabbing you here? It's the holidays. I don't have really anything left. If you guys got anything else you want to jump into, what you got?
Players era here in Vegas. It's been fun. The second day of group play today. Kai and I are just a lot on the same wavelength today. I will say, tread lightly on this. This was not a big bet for me, but there's one thing that just jumped out to me about the matchup, the game I'll be at later tonight, UNLV against Alabama. UNLV's been not very good, but a great rebounding team. I mean, they just mauled whoever, the St. Joe's. I think they beat like 15 last week, and they had like 60 rebounds. Alabama can't rebound at all. So I took a little bit of taste of UNLV plus 13.5. Again, nothing, no stone cold lock or anything, but it's funny. I was just thinking about Alabama's rebounding woes. I was doing my college basketball numbers before I went to sleep last night, and that's what ultimately pushed me over the edge to bet just a little bit of UNLV at the huge number. I made it 11.5, so not like there's some huge delta there, but I do think at the big number I lean UNLV a little bit. This is just and I know I was on Alabama against St. John's. I think I gave it out on this show, but yeah, this is like personnel wise probably my least favorite Alabama team I can remember in Oates's tenure. I still think they're getting it done. I think the Filon's incredible, and Wrightsell's not playing again in the players era is another thing. I think you downgrade their power rating a little bit. I wish I got to the window with Gonzaga last night because I definitely leaned that way, but ultimately didn't do it, and you saw Gonzaga cruise in that game. Still really high on Gonzaga. That was a team I talked about the last time we talked about college basketball. I think people that were expecting them to take a dip this year, I think they can beat anyone. Some other players era stuff. I only bet two other games today, but one of them pretty ugly. I bet San Diego State plus 2.5 in the players era against Oregon. They lost by like 40 yesterday to Michigan, and Tony's old friend Yock. I don't even know how to say his name. Yoxel, whatever his name is. Michigan just crushed them yesterday, but I think they'll have.
He looks so good for them, man. I mean,
Michigan's another scary team if they put it all together. It's been a kind of a clunky fit lately. I think they had not covered like their three games in a row till last night, but they broke out. I just don't like this Oregon team. I think this is more of a pick 'em. San Diego State as a dog, and then it's my biggest bet, but it's moved a lot now. I don't think last night when books posted this, they realized Iowa State was in the great game with St. John's yesterday, and their best player Taman Lipsey got hurt at the end of the game, and they still opened a 10-point favorite over Creighton, which I thought was just insane. So my biggest bet of the day is Creighton plus 10. Of course, now it's crashed all the way to like 5, 5.5. So I'd have to say tread lightly again. I think someone wasn't on top of it, didn't realize he got hurt at the end of that game. So I highly doubt that they're going to risk him for a non-conference game in November. I bet he's going to be out. Creighton's been really bad, but I don't know. Without Lipsey, I think this will be a close game.
Kai, you got anything else you want to add?
You know, I'm really interested to see what everybody considers two really tough-minded defensive teams go at it today with Tennessee and Houston. Over-under 136, really low because both of those teams are actually – I mean, I don't expect Jacoby Gillespie transfers to Tennessee to come out and put up 30 again like he did yesterday. Nate Amendt looked like a 18-year-old in the first 5 minutes of the game, first 10 minutes of the game yesterday. Rick Barnes called him out, screamed at him for about 20 seconds, put him right back in, and he went off. I just think that game's going to go over because I think they can both score. Tennessee, length, and you got to remember, Houston went into overtime, had a 15-point lead with 3 minutes left in the game and went into overtime. And if Syracuse could make free throws worth a crap, Houston would have lost the game. I think Syracuse missed somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 free throws. At one point, they were like 5 for 20. Looking at it, I don't remember exactly what the number is because I'm not going to lie. I was sitting around the fireplace, you know, maybe had a little cocktail or something. But watching that game, I'm just, you know, as a fan, even if you don't want to wager, don't wager. But as a fan sitting back, there are tons of good basketball games on TNT. I'll throw them a little promo out there for it. But I love the fact that they're doing this Players Era tournament. I would be interested to see how they give their money out. Like the guys that are on the end of the bench, the walk-ons that don't get in the game, what part of that money do they get? Because it's the Players Era. What do they go, here's $100? You know, what do they do with that million on the 15-man roster?
That's true.
There's been some question of what's going on with that. I will say I love the NBA Cup Finals, which will be here in Vegas in a few weeks. I think everyone on the team, no matter what, gets the same. I think they all get $500,000 for the winning team. So it's awesome to watch the end of the bench, like when the Lakers won it a couple years ago. I remember the guys at the end of the bench were asking LeBron, like, when do we get paid? He told us the media that it means a lot to those guys at the end of the bench.
NBA it does. Hell yeah, it does.
I mean, because half of them are only making $1 million, so they're
getting half of it for that.
It's a giant chunk of change. By the way, the Blazers have UTEP a little bit later on this afternoon down in Jacksonville, Florida. They're playing in a tournament, and UAB is surprisingly enough 5-2 in the season. So Andy Kennedy's got something going on there. He's one of those guys.
Southern Illinois, was that right? Southern Illinois last night, is that who they beat?
Yeah, they're for 12 guys that don't know each other, they're doing okay. Defensively speaking, they need to find themselves. They're not hitting the boards really well, but they'll get better. But they always get better throughout the year. And I'm sitting there looking at I love this time of the year because you can get out of bed and just it's holidays. You don't know what day it is, and there's college basketball on like at 9 o'clock in the morning. I love that. So
hey, Kip was 3-0 in hockey last night. By the way,
there you go. I know he was. He was on fire. He let us know it too, didn't he? He knew it. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. We'll catch up. I'm assuming. Duncan, Dan, we're going to be good for Friday on the Coastal Digital Network, even though it's a holiday, correct? All right.
Awesome. Right before Texas Tech A&M kicks off at 11, is that right? Or is it?
Yeah, we're going to be.
It's Ole Miss that kicks off right after, at 11 on Friday. That'll be good.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. We're going to have to make sure the TV's on while we're doing the show. We're all going to be watching TV while we do the show. It's going to be great. Should be very entertaining. All right, gentlemen, appreciate you guys. I appreciate you, and we'll catch up on Friday, 10 o'clock Central Time. Thank you.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, man. Hey, thank you. You too.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.